I would do anything for love, but I won't do that.
Every sports fan has an opinion. Well, these are ours.
Ours.
Welcome to Brock and Pep's Unsportsmanlike Convo. Ready? And here are your hosts, Brock Fleming and Pep Cariotti.
What up? All right. This is episode two of the revamped show.
The comeback.
With your host, Brock Fleming, and P-Dog. There you go. Okay, I wasn't sure if you're going to catch it or not.
Oh, no.
You're like, no, I was waiting for that. It sounds actually like you've been practicing a little bit. That's good.
I'm pretty good at it.
Oh, yeah? You're pretty good at barking?
Yeah, well, I do it all the time to get Rosie all amped up and stuff.
Oh, yeah? How is your love life? Oh, no, Rosie's the...
I love you. I love Rosie. God.
Rosie's not listening.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to get into CFL today. You have a couple of thoughts on the season and whatnot. Before we get going, real quick shout out to your client and friend and family member for me, Bree. Brianne is fighting today in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
In the World Kickboxing Championship. I think it's called.
Yep.
And big time difference, but it's 11 a.m. this morning. Curtis and Bree are out there. Curtis is supporting her. He's sending us little clips of the setup and stuff. Looks pretty cool. Got to be pretty excited. I know it's a short turnaround from the amount of jet lag that I'm sure they're facing. So hopefully she was able to adjust as best she can. But she's going up against a pretty good fighter. I don't have her name in front of me because I wasn't prepared for that. Bree's ranked eighth in the world, I guess, right now. So
yeah,
she's
fighting up. I think the rankings are because she doesn't have enough fights under her belt, that's why they ranked her there. But she could very well be like in this person's place in terms of the ranking, from what I understand. And the country, I might be mispronouncing this, but I think it's Mauritius. Mauritius. It's in East Africa. The person that she's fighting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So pretty cool.
Pretty cool. Good luck. We'll be tuning in, streaming, and we'll update on a future podcast. There is no time frame, but hopefully you guys and girls can watch it. All right.
Yeah.
CFL time. I think everybody just turned off the podcast.
Yeah. we're not going to be talking about like the results of the games and who made the playoffs. Now, we could, but we're not. The CFL this year for me, I mean, we all know the experience at Lansdowne, right? It's a cool experience. You know, for the most part, it's a pretty good social experience. With the South Side, you can walk up the concourse and have beers and just mainly hang out with friends, and then the football game breaks out.
It's a social atmosphere.
It really is. But it's become less social now with the cost of everything. I mean, sorry, but like a $12 for a beer. So I'm having maybe two at most, you know, and with the product, the quality of the product that Ottawa is fielding, I'm not spending much on a ticket.
Like I was going to say the beer costs as much as what you can get tickets for nowadays.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll be like, I'm not here to poop on the Red Blacks. All right. Like I want them to stick around. It's a great option on a nice summer night or summer day. You know, it's very important for the nation's capital to have a team. Like it's super important for the league, for the country, all that stuff. But the product sucks. Like the product sucks. It sucks ass. Like I went to five games.
That's our new applause button.
That is a long. It's long.
It is. I had to turn the volume down a bit because I'm like, it's going on. It's going to cut in.
And it used to be just a couple of people doing yay, and that was over. But that was like a standing ovation.
Yeah, these come preset. So, hey, it is what it is.
And I used to be biased because, you know, we know Jeff Avery and he does the TSN 1200.
Yeah.
You know, a friend of ours, great guy.
But do you hear Jeff Avery when you're at the stadium?
Nope. Exactly. No.
You're like, I'd rather just sit and listen to TSN 1200 and let Jeff's soothing, soulful voice take me through a CFL game, Rouge, a missed Rouge, and an onside punt, and all these weird, verbiages that people have zero idea what's going on.
You know, the product on the field, like, I'm not sure if it's there's just a lack of foresight on the Red Blacks organization for like bringing skilled people in, but like, you know, you're rolling with Jeremiah Mazzoli this year, who hadn't played in a full season, looked like he'd put on a couple of pounds. It's not like he really tore the league up in Hamilton. And then you really don't have any contingency plan other than, like, you had I think Arbuckle was their first choice. That didn't work out. And then now Dustin Crum. Like, we were at that one game. The one game that was even semi-entertaining, we almost left. It was 28 to, it's probably not inaccurate, but it was like 28 to 6 or something like that for Winnipeg. And I was there with Kurt and Bree, who's fighting today. And we literally got up to leave. Like, guys, I can't stay this for this last quarter. This is awful. Let's just go home. And as we're leaving, Ottawa scores a touchdown. Okay, it's 26 to 13 at this point. And, okay, hang on. So we get up by the concourse. We pop another beer. And they score again. It's like, okay. But these scores weren't exactly, like, you know, beautiful plays. Like, I think one was a fumble and a recovery, and they score a touchdown. One was Dustin Crum running up the middle, running for his life, basically. And they end up winning, which was awesome. But, like, it really wasn't, from a football purist standpoint, it was shitty football.
I mean, I can't argue with you. You know, it is what it is. I mean, a lot of that is what makes the CFL the CFL, right? Like, the turnovers, the fast play, the two and outs, that kind of stuff, the forcing it down the field because you need a first down, you need, you know, second and 10 as opposed to the NFL that could be a little bit more methodical. It also caters to, you know, the clock and the differences in that to say, you know what, with such small amount of time left in the fourth, you saw a team able to come back. You couldn't see that in the NFL, right? So, you know, that old slogan, no lead is safe in the CFL, really is kind of accurate. And that comes to the clock functionality and rules, and also the fact that it's only three downs. So, you know, the thing is, you can't sit and compare the CFL to the NFL and be like, hey, this is really boring because it's not the NFL. You know, the NFL is a completely different game. At certain, man, watching the Steelers back in the day, that was boring football where you just run it all the time. The Steelers-Ravens game from like the early 2000s or whatever it was like, gouged my eyes out. It was awful. but anyway.
Yeah, no, you know what though? I would consider you a football purist. No, like you're as old as I am. You got a few years on you, but you're like, you still grew up watching, like, the Dallas Cowboys early '90s, you know, mid '90s, late '90s. The run game was still a part of football, and yeah. The beauty of football was, you know, the deception or sometimes there was just no deception. It's like, look, here's five linemen and two tight ends and a fullback. Guess stop us. And yeah. For me, I used to love seeing that. I used to love seeing the diversity. But and we're not here to talk about the NFL necessarily. But like, you would see some of that in the CFL as well, like a slot back who could block, a fullback. Like, teams actually played with a fullback, and it's kind of why I like watching
Bruno
the Argos.
Hippel played with one of the best that ever do it.
Yes, sir. You know, the only team that I know right now off the top of my head that plays with a traditional fullback in the CFL, I think, is Toronto. And, well, hey, what do you know? They're about to tie the CFL record for wins if they win this week in Ottawa. So there's something to be said about that style of play and being able to run the football with Andrew Harris and with that Ouellette kid. They run the football well because they scheme it. The rest of the teams, it's like, what are we doing here? The defenses have figured it out in the CFL. Like, it's a blanket. It's an umbrella. Here, take 5 yards. We're not giving you anything else. We can't defend in the secondary because the referees are going to throw a flag all the time. So we're going to give you 5 yards. And if they do that, Brock, as an offensive coordinator, what would you do if you got to the line and you saw don't know how many DBs are on the field for the CFL, 8. Like, what are you at least going to try to do well? If you see 8 DBs giving you 5 yards, you're going to throw a slant or you're going to run the football? No.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's an extension. Those slants and those outs are extensions of the run game. You know, so those the quarterback just throwing a wide receiver screen, you know what I mean? Like a little hitch screen on the outside is essentially like a long handoff. He's just getting it to the receiver outside. He's got 2 blockers, already given a 5-yard cushion. He should not even face contact till about 3.5, and then who knows what happens. So that those are like, you take what the defense gives you. So in, you know, I've learned a lot from coaching with Ottawa U because I do coach under Marcel Bellefeuille, who is a longtime CFL coach, a head coach, OC, all that kind of stuff. So he really brings that mentality to what we do. And what he preaches is, you know, nothing. We need to get a couple big plays on offense. But from a defensive standpoint, it's nothing over the top because that's exactly what changes things. So as long as you keep everything in front of you, you know, make the offense methodically go down. You only have 2 plays before you have to punt. So stopping the run and keeping nothing over the top is sort of top-down defense is what you're trying to do. So you got to take what they give you. So those slant routes, those outs, those quick RPOs. You know, we have a read. Boom. If it's not there, take the easy throw. Because if the man's coming down, the guy should be behind. Those kind of things, and really go through it. But, I'd love teams that run the ball well, like Toronto, don't abandon it too quickly either. So they're teams that are confident enough that they can run the ball on first and second down. It's not the typical or the predictable run on first, throw on second. So with that keeps the defense a bit more on their heels. You know, the second down defenses are usually either coming hard at the quarterback or they're playing a bit further, a bit deeper. Either one is susceptible to that run because either giving up run or if you can run past that first line of blitzers, if we pick that up and the running back gets through, then there's a lot of open space for them. But that's, you know, a call that has to be, say, okay, on second, we're confident in running the ball because the pass is always seems to be the first thought a lot in the Canadian Football League.
Can I ask you a question?
That's what we're here for.
Maybe I just don't know enough about the run game itself and how deception plays a part in its success. But like, there's no CFL team I can think of currently, and certainly in the last 4 or 5 years, that plays under center. They just don't. And we've had this discussion about, you know, it's easier for the quarterback to read the defense when he's 5 yards away from the center. And, you know, like if you're going to, you know, it's a quick handoff, there's less likely to be any kind of mishap. Mm-hmm. But isn't there a deception factor on first down if you got your quarterback under center and he's turning his back to the line of scrimmage to hand the football off to a running back who has a running start to the line of scrimmage versus, you know, turning around and handing it off? The running back really has no running start. He's got like a millisecond to assess the hole, and then he's got to take off. In the NFL, it rarely works. Like I barely, the only guy that I ever see gain yards from a handoff like that is McCaffrey. Seems to be the only guy that can kind of get the ball and wiggle through the offensive line through the to the center and the guard rather than go off tackle. Like, how come the CFL teams don't do that anymore when they want to run the football?
It's a different style. And the yard off the ball plays a big point of that. So when you're talking about a quarterback being under center and taking the snap and turning and the running back has a downhill, he's taking the ball, that's a gap run. So that's saying, hey, You're running in the B gap. The O line is coming off. However, they need to address that B gap is literally just firing off, hitting them. There's not a lot of time because there's no yard off the ball. It's not a lot of time for the defense to do a lot of stunts and a lot of whatever because you're right in their face. And the O line will get their hands on you very quickly. So they fire off the ball. All they got to do is get their heads inside those defenders to make sure that that hole is open and the running back is coming down and there is no read. The running back is grabbing it and they're hitting that B hole as fast as possible. In the CFL, you don't have as many of those because with the yard off the ball, offensive linemen have two steps before they make contact. So the defense can stunt and whatever, which makes it harder to get that like gap sound sort of leverage. And because of that, like McCaffrey and those guys too, when he does his runs, those are like slower developing sort of zone type reads where it's not a specific hole. It's where does the defender, it's designed so the defender takes what their responsibilities are. The offense caters to it and the running back reads off it. So it's kind of designed to make the offense always right, or at least the defense always wrong. We talk about like a running start. Whether the running back's back 7 yards and he's running downhill and has to take a handoff and continue into that hole, or it's a snap, give him the ball, and then he's running towards that hole, it doesn't change a whole lot. All it does is that the handoff is from a standstill or like a slower position than a full-out sprint trying to get a handoff and go, which reduces the amount for fumbles and stuff too. But in the CFL, when you have a quarterback back, we talk about these quick throws and the RPOs and saying, I got to get the ball out. If you're under center and it's like a quick slant and you have to take the ball and drop 3 steps and then throw it, that takes a lot more time than, hey, the snap's in my hand. I'm already back. Boom. The ball's out of my hand. Right. So it does allow for the quarterback to kind of see what the development without having to move his feet. And if he has to get the ball out, it caters to that. This long winded. I think we lost listeners, but that's my.
No, that's great information. I always wondered, I understand it takes, certainly there's more moving parts when you take a ball under center and then you have to drop back. It's certainly probably a little bit more exhausting for the quarterback to, you're basically sprinting back 5 to 7 yards when you're dropping back. There's a lot of elements that, you know, the benefit of being in the shotgun. I'm just, from a deception standpoint, like if you're a linebacker, it's a lot easier to recognize a handoff and or a pass when the quarterback is just either turning one way, even if it is a play action RPO or whatever, like it's easier for to recognize. And if you're a lineman whose assignment isn't to just pin his ears back and go, maybe you're on that play. They're just meant to make contact and read the quarterback's play. Like it's a lot easier to determine whether it's a runner or a pass and they can react a little bit better. That's why find that.
They do have it, but there's a mesh point that you find in the CFL, and you see that a little bit more in those type of shotgun plays, and that's designed for that deception purpose, where the quarterback will have the ball in the running back's stomach, and they ride with it a little bit longer. So that whole, like, drawn-out half second there is that same deception, yeah, where it's like, oh, is the quarterback keeping it or giving it? And then pulls it back out or lets the running back take it. So that alone freezes the linebacker's eyes for a bit if they're watching those kind of plays. So, you know, again, these are things that have been, you know, thought about by smarter people than us. And the deception is accounted for in certain those situations. But I totally agree. There's a lot less. I mean, the fundamentals of young quarterbacks nowadays, because no youth team does under center anymore. Half of them don't know how to drop. So even from a pistol or a shotgun, you say, okay, we want you to take from there 2 more steps and then throw the ball and get those timing. You just see like their footwork is not as good, all that kind of stuff, because nobody does it anymore.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, I mean, I remember the days of Tracy Ham and Matt Dunnigan. They'd go under center. They'd roll out left, roll out right, or drop back like 8 yards and just fire it. And those days are gone. And it's like the aesthetics of football have changed, and for the worse. I mean, I don't like to see, if I want to watch a quarterback just, you know, hoist it with 2 seconds after he gets the ball, I mean, I'd go watch flag football. I'll go watch the Buckingham League. I mean, that's where the CFL is at for me right now. It's not very good, entertaining football. Like I say, outside of the two very, very good teams in the CFL right now, Winnipeg and Toronto, if those two teams make the Grey Cup, I'm watching. But the rest of the league, I mean, I thought BC had something going with Nathan Rourke until he jumped ship. But I saw them play Ottawa one year when Rourke was under center, and it was fun. I mean, their offense was diverse. Well, they were running their
– who's they got right now? He's playing pretty well. Wasn't he in the MVP candidate talks?
Vernon Adams?
Yeah.
I mean, they've got weapons. He's up and down the field, but they've been a little inconsistent towards the end of the year. I think they've been. I'm not sure if they may have solidified a playoff spot. Maybe that's why they're not showing all their cards. But
yeah,
like,
they have. They're second in the West. They yeah, got. So, 24 points. They're only 2 points behind Winnipeg. That game BC and Winnipeg had a couple weeks ago was pretty big in terms of who was going to finish first.
Like I really like it. You know, the Toronto and Winnipeg all have all these parallels. If you look at it, Andrew Harris used to play for Winnipeg. Oliveira, the Winnipeg running back, he's built like Andrew Harris. Like there's a lot of parallels on how they run their offense, and it's definitely a formula for success. I mean, I think Winnipeg has 14 wins or something like that. So, I mean,
13.
Run the football effectively. Don't abandon it. I think you nailed that. And you know, run play action. I mean, go take some shots downfield, and both those teams do a really good job. That Kelly kid's pretty good.
Yeah, and this just to go back to your point, talking about the Red Blacks and the Masoli, and then their backup plan being Arbuckle and whatever, and then not really having a backup plan. If you historically look through like CFL, like from when we started watching as kids and stuff, like how many quarterbacks are like brought in from the start expected to be like superstars like the NFL? There aren't any. They're all like, hey, we're going to take a chance. This kid ends up in a good situation that fits his style, and all of a sudden he's exploded to be, you know, I don't want to say the Kelly kid, what's the quarterback?
He came out of nowhere.
Used to be, yeah, exactly. But what's the guy that was at Edmonton for a while, was the highest paid quarterback there?
Mike Riley.
Mike Riley. But Mike Riley, like, he doesn't come into the CFL initially as being like, he's the next guy, he's the superstar, he's whatever. It's, you got to be in a situation. All of a sudden, he's the best quarterback in the league for years. So the CFL is all about quarterbacks, just like, do you have the right guy at the right time and the right situation? That's what it is. And so you got to take chances on all these guys, and the ones that are paid for what they've done in the past.
Sure.
But, yeah, that's just par for the course in the CFL.
Yeah, you're right. You guys like Trevor Harris and Ricky Ray, those guys, I don't think they ever came into the league thinking with all this pedigree, like, oh, we got ourselves a blue chipper here.
We had Trevor Harris. Yeah. Was Trevor Harris like the Trevor Harris that's been playing, well, maybe not as a super late, but
Saskatchewan?
You know what I mean? Like, he had a couple good years, I guess, after he left Ottawa. I don't know. But
he started the year this year in Saskatchewan, and he got hurt, I think, in the third or fourth game. But
I heard he wasn't a very good teammate either.
Well, yeah, it's very possible. I'm not really sure. The Saskatchewan, a team that just built a brand new dome a couple of years back, you know, like a city-owned team, like the kind of like the Packers, where the taxpayer flips the bill for the team. What an embarrassment. I'm glad Craig Dickinson is no longer going to be the coach there. As you know, I'm a huge Ryder fan. I'm not a Dickinson fan at all. 2 years in a row, Brock, they go 6-5, and then they lose the last seven games and then fall out of the playoffs.
Seven games, I feel like, is hard to do.
I mean, like, they lost to Ottawa.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I almost think it's harder to lose seven games in the CFL, seven games in a row, than it is to win seven games in a row.
Oh, I mean, and you talk about, like, disappointment, right? Like, a fan base, a rabid fan base who travels really well. I'm super disappointed with them, with the league and the product outside of, like I say, outside of Toronto, which, I mean, you watch a Toronto game, apparently they're actually pretty good for attendance. It must be the stadium. Have you been to that stadium? BMO Field? Have you been there?
In
Toronto?
No, actually. I know it's not. But if I do go, I never got past the 8 Mile Pizza at Liberty Village. Shout out to Dave Azzi and his pizza joint. It's delicious, but it's right near BMO Field. So if I ever did go back to BMO Field, I would also go to 8 Mile Pizza again. But yeah, I didn't get any further than that.
I'll end my rant here with this. I like the CFL. I actually like all the quirky rules. The league dates back 100,000 years or whatever. Like, I'm a fan of the CFL product. I'm a fan of the certainly the last 3 minutes. I love the fact that no game is over until whatever. But the league itself, I mean, you got to remember that it's entertainment at the end of the day. It's a sport, but fans pay their ticket to be slightly entertained, at least. So figure it out, guys, in terms of aesthetics. You know, I haven't been entertained. And I've got a lot of friends who work for the Red Blacks organization, whether it's behind the scenes selling tickets, whether it's marketing, whether it's Jeff Avery. So I want the team to succeed. I'm talking locally here, but I am a Rough Riders fan. I want the CFL and this team to succeed. I want them to put a team out east, you know, make the league even, find none of this crossover stuff. And but there's the game right now isn't very pretty to watch. So figure it out.
I wonder if we're just getting old and bitter because we've seen the same thing over and over. And as a kid, we'd be excited about it. But anyway, that's a debate for another time. We are getting older. And on that note, we are getting out of here. We got a fight to watch in less than an hour. Go Breed. Go Canada.
Woo!
Heard y'all tearing up shit out there, kicking up dust, giving a motherfuck. Yeah, niggas. Cause I ain't mad at you. Now we was once two niggas of the same kind, quick to holler at a hoochie with the same line. You was just a little smaller, but you still roll. Got stressed to YA and hit the hood swole. Remember when you had a Jerry curl, didn't quite learn. On the block with your Glock, tripping off Sherm. Collect calls to the tilt, saying how you changed. Oh, you a Muslim now, no more dope game. Heard you might be coming home, just got bail. Wanna go to the mosque, don't wanna chase tail. It seems I lost my little homie, he's a changed man.